Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we jump right in with our pals from Talk Radio News. Big news. Lois Lerner from the IRS held in contempt. How about that? We've talked about this for a long time, whether she should be or not, with more of those details. Jeff Holtzman, this was huge. You know this. You and I talked about it a bunch, too. What was the reaction to the fact that she's being held in contempt, the panel holding her in contempt?
Well, Democrats reacted by saying that Daryl Issa, who chairs the House Oversight Committee, is on a political witch hunt and that he shouldn't waste his time with this because the Justice Department has already investigated the IRS for their improper screening of conservative nonprofit groups in the lead up to the 2012 elections and actually after that as well. But what Republicans are saying is that Lerner needs to be held in contempt because she withheld information about what she knew from Congress. And remember, she was brought to the Capitol Hill twice to testify, once last year and once this year. And both times she pled the fifth, although at her first appearance she issued a brief statement professing her innocence in the matter, innocence from the charge that she was politically motivated to target these groups. But the House Ways and Means Committee just yesterday voted to refer Lerner to the Justice Department for a criminal investigation. So, very similar to what the House Oversight Committee did today. And the Ways and Means Committee put out a bunch of emails between Lerner and others at the IRS that, make her out to be, partisan Democrat who is interested in, not working with these conservative groups and not approving their applications.
All right, so we'll see how that all plays out because now she's, is on the hot seat. She's got to be concerned about that. And where it moves, we don't know yet at this point.
What happens in a nutshell is the matter first now has to be voted on by the entire House.
Yeah.
So the Oversight Committee passed this, resolution holding her in contempt. The whole House has to vote, and they're now taking the next 2 weeks off, as is the Senate, for their Easter recess. So that vote probably won't happen until late April at the earliest. And then if it passes, which I expect it to pass along party lines, then it would go to the U.S. Attorney's office here in Washington, D.C. But the U.S. Mm-hmm. Attorney in D.C., of course, works for the Department of Justice. So he works for Eric Holder. Also, the U.S. Attorney in D.C. is an Obama political appointee. So I wouldn't expect the U.S. Attorney to really pursue the matter. I think it really is more of a sort of show vote because I don't think it's really going anywhere beyond that. The same thing happened when the House held Eric Holder in contempt a couple of years ago. The matter went to the U.S. Attorney's office, and it sort of died there.
Yeah, thanks for explaining that. Absolutely. So we'll see in April, but it's more of a show than anything else. This isn't a show, though. The House passed the final Ryan budget, so what does that mean?
Well, it is kind of a show vote because it's not expected to be taken up by the Senate, which is controlled by Democrats. The Ryan
Not? Why wouldn't the Democrats take his bill up? I don't understand that.
Yeah,
budget.
It's kind of amazing, right? I think, this is one of those things that everybody saw coming, and it's largely a repeat of the past couple of years, with the exception of the budget agreement that Ryan reached this January with Patty Murray, and that budget deal actually became law. It set spending levels for this year and next year, and then, Congress passed a big omnibus measure, which, set individual agency spending levels within that budget. This is all really wonky stuff, but the bottom line is this Ryan budget was hearkening back to the budgets he put out in 2010 and 2011 and 2012, which, cut a lot of spending in an effort to eventually balance the budget. I think this one balances in about 10 years. For some conservatives, that wasn't quick enough. 12 Republicans voted against it because it didn't cut enough spending. But for Democrats, it cut too much spending, and they were all opposed to it. But it gives Republicans something to sort of run on this year, just like it did in years past when Ryan put out these similar budget plans.
Another interesting thing happened on the Hill. Senator Angus King, who from Maine, who caucuses with the Democrats, says he's going to decide after the midterm elections whether or not to switch sides and join the Republicans. You know this. They hate that when that happens on the Hill, and it's happened a couple of different times. We saw what happened with Arlen Specter. So were there people gossiping about this?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is sort of a quiet story. I mean, I think that it's sort of surprising, but at the same time, King he sided with Republicans in the past, but his staff is saying that King's guiding principle is to do what's right for Maine. He's a proven consensus builder, and will continue to work with members on both sides of the aisle. So, you know, I mean, King is, you know, he's obviously got the I after his name, but he really truly is trying to position himself as an independent. Of course, there are critics who say that he's just, you know, thinking about switching parties for, you know, out of convenience. I mean, if Republicans win back the Senate, they're obviously going to have all the power in the Senate. And I think some people believe that King just wants to be a part of that power, doesn't really want to deal with being in the minority. But, you know, you saw him take an interesting vote the other day. The Democrats voted on their Paycheck Fairness Act in the Senate, and it didn't pass. And King was the only non-Republican to vote against the bill. So it was all the Republicans and King who voted against it. And, it wasn't a bill that was expected to pass the House. It was more of a show vote. But that could have been King's first foray into, you know, his decision to lean Republican.
You mentioned this, that, you know, there's a whole bunch of things happening. There's a flurry of activity because it's an Easter break. Is that usually what you see? You've covered Congress now for a while. Whoops, hurry up. Let's try to get clear off our desk and get some things done or push them aside and move on from that. Is that what it feels like, that the hurry up kind of situation?
Yeah, although Congress really didn't pass anything necessarily important, I should say, before this break. I mean, they passed the Ryan budget, but that's not expected to go anywhere. You know, I mean, the House has taken a number of votes that aren't going anywhere. I mean, this year is, they really only have a couple more things to do this year. I mean, they've set the budget for this year already. They've, they've passed the Medicare doc fix, which avoids, cuts to, payment reimbursements for doctors that accept Medicare. That was a big issue that they took care of. One of the things obviously on the table still is unemployment insurance. They haven't been able to pass that. The Senate Democrats support it, but House Republicans, aren't supporting it in the House. So that's one thing. And then there really aren't many other things. I mean, Congress, I expect them to sort of put it on cruise control when they come back. You know, there's obviously a lot of calls for immigration reform, but the folks I've talked to in the House say that it's dead on arrival, that they're not going to vote on that this year anymore. So I really can't see them taking any more major votes, you know, before the midterms.
And then as far as the White House is concerned, it's all about the Easter egg hunt now at this point.
Yeah, the big Easter egg roll on the 21st. I mean, for the White House, I mean, they're in campaign mode as well. You know, you see the president holding a campaign event the other day for equal pay, and that sparked this debate that maybe the White House didn't even want to have about the gender pay gap, because it turns out that there's a gender pay gap at the White House. So, but the bottom line is, I mean, I think all parties, the White House and Democrats and Republicans on Capitol Hill, everything they do between now and November is designed to secure support for the midterms. I mean, whether it's, you know, equal pay, they know that that women are a huge voting bloc. They need to pick up as many female votes as they can. That's an issue that resonates with women. It's a feel-good bill. It's a bill with a good-sounding name. The Democrats, you know, are going to stake their claim on legislation like that. Republicans, meanwhile, are going to, you know, continue to oppose Obamacare. They're going to continue to talk about, you know, areas of the country where people are paying higher premiums. You know, they're going to continue to keep these scandals in the news, like the IRS scandal. They're gonna, I mean, you know, even Benghazi. I was talking to Lindsey Graham the other day, and that's an issue that he and John McCain and Kelly Ayotte are not letting go of. They want full transparency in terms of that. Democrats say it's ridiculous. Get over it. Even Charles Krauthammer said, you know, it's time to move on. But I mean, I think the reason you're seeing Republicans talk about it is because, you know, they think that it can. They think that it's a big campaign issue.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Holston, thanks so much.
Thanks, Kate.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
This is Bill Brown, Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, unfunded entitlements, looming Obamacare, the death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you are concerned about maintaining your purchasing power, consider this. Gold and silver are up 497% in 13 years. Call me, 800-686-2237, extension 332. Together we can discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Analysts agree the dollar's problems are increasing. Call me, Bill Brown, 800-686-2237 at extension 332, and we'll discuss your option of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metals IRA. Don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar collapses. Call me, Bill Brown, at Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237, extension 332.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $33,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $33,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's
866-91-7-8335. Hey, a big shout out all of those listening in those nooks and crannies, but the people in Grand Rapids listening to us on The Pledge, 96.5 FM and 1260 AM, Grand Rapids. I've been there many, many times. One of my best buddies is from Grand Rapids. Well, did you know, supposedly, I was sent a link today, that the World Wide Web is 25 years old? What is the exact date of the creation of the World Wide Web? Well, the polyglot scientist, my pal, Joe Savard, is on the case. And he is the internet guru. I've dubbed him as such for America Tonight. So he is in our virtual green room, and I'm sure he can knock down all the answers of whether it's true or false. Joe, thanks for coming on the show. And is it true? Is the World Wide Web 25?
Well, the web, as Tim Lee, Berners-Lee, created on a Next computer, not on an Apple, not on a Windows box, but a Next computer. He built the hypertext language, and that's what we refer to as the World Wide Web, riding upon the internet as we know it, the network. So the delineation is not really the web, but the World Wide Web with hypertext language and documents.
So do you think he realized when he did that and created that language of just how big this ultimately would become and what it would involve and what it would evolve to?
You know, he's a pretty humble guy. In fact, he did a Google web video talking about net neutrality and where the world come together and bring this technology forward and shape it for basically humanity. He would like to see it as a access to it as a human right. And he several times said he did not realize how big it was going to blow up. He knew the potential and probably the small scale, but nobody could really understand what hypertext and video all meant from the time he started it. And he just watched it grow out of sight. Like we watch a lot of these technologies and you just become overwhelmed.
You know, it's interesting when you say become overwhelmed. Well, Steve Jobs, Microsoft, Bill Gates, those guys, they saw they were kids, they were playing around with computers. And do you think they realized, because obviously look at how those companies flourished, the power of what it could become and just got the right people around them after they kind of messed around here and there?
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things that that's interesting, and I talked to a couple of people today about this, there was a lot of, in our discussions preliminary, it was like Apple did hypertext, and it wasn't really Apple. It was Steve Jobs with Next. And so you have to think that Steve Jobs had his hand in a lot of shaping of what we do today, from the World Wide Web all the way down to the way we use tablets and the human interface mechanisms that we go through on some of these touch devices. Did he see that? I think he had a passion for understanding how human ergonomics and human behavior could use a computer, and he was very passionate about it. And he himself, I don't think, could see how it would grow, because even when he went back into Apple after he was kicked out and he met John Ivey, he was blown away by John's designs. And then he was, you know, blown away that the fact that John regurgitated what he believed in. So he did. He was more of a fire starter. And in that time with John, when he met John Ivey, I think he was blown away that, hey, it really caught on and beyond what he initially thought. And I think, you know, you can go back through interviews with he and Bill Gates during that time. And, you know, they have a lot of, when you're in the thick of it, you don't have a lot of appreciation. But after they look back, it was like, wow, look what we did. Look what we started. But look what many other people have done.
We're speaking with Joe Savard, polyglot scientist. So do you remember your first computer?
My first computer, I think, was a 6502. I built it myself.
Yeah. You built it yourself. Yeah, I don't even remember my first computer. I do remember this, though. You know, when we started to have, when it used to be AOL and you get that like that, of course, Joe, yep. I had to be dragged into the 21st century. I was hooked in forever waiting for the dial-up. And it's amazing the difference. I mean, does anyone even have dial-up anymore?
You know, I haven't heard that whistle, the analog whistle, in a long time. But I had somebody ask me about 2 or 3 months ago, maybe just before the first of the year, where they could get a modem, because they were talking to somebody in Europe, and for some reason they were still doing that kind of communication to get into their system. I have no idea what it was, but I'm sure they're still out there. I'm sure that technology still works, right?
Right.
And if you can apply any type of technology that's useful for you, then why not do it? You know, if it's quick. Today you can buy a Raspberry Pi for $25. The new one's coming out. I think it's going to range about $30. It has HDI or HDMI on the motherboard, and it's probably half the size of an iPod, I would say. So, you know, and that's just a Linux box. With a memory card. So all these older technologies, how do you apply it, and where can you apply it, and where does it make sense?
All right, but we're all about bigger, badder, faster. And when I went to Europe, when I was in Ireland, I guess a year and a half ago now, it blew me away how fast the Internet was there. It was like you barely touched your computer and suddenly you were soaring. We did the show and it was flawless because of how fast the Internet was. It was just an absolute piece of cake. Why in Europe, in places like Ireland, in places like England, and even in South America in some places, why is the Internet faster there than in the States?
Well, so this is this is more of an opinion and an observation for me. We tend to sell bandwidth not in full duplex. We tend to restrict the upload and open up the download, and we market that, and we put different dollar amounts on that to seek a certain revenue, and we tend to also oversell bandwidth in
in some certain circumstances. And so when you go to Indonesia and you go read the internet tables of what they're doing, or Europe, they're like 100 meg to the house and 100 meg up and 100 meg down. And I don't know, whenever I've been in Europe, I've always had a good full duplex without a full up and no restriction upload or download. And I tend to think it's that way. I don't know the exact marketing, the engineering decisions of the companies, what Orange does as opposed to British Telecom, but I have a good feeling that it's the way we restrict and we try to squeeze our network out to get the revenue into the communications hub, if you will.
Yeah, by the way, we want to tell everybody that if you want to tell me what your first computer is, send it to me at americatonight.net or call us at 855-266-5283. Jack from Down Under says, Joe, my first computer was a Radio Shack TRS-80 pocket computer with a massive 1.5K of RAM.
Yeah, I have one of those, too. I did have that, and then I jumped over to I had an Atari, and I had a Commodore 64, and and then I got to my Apple, and the rest I probably still have some of them in the garage.
I know. Who knows where all mine is? We have like 1 minute left, but gaming, too, has really changed as far as the internet's concerned and what we're able to do. All I want is my old Pong back. I loved Pong. Did you play Pong?
Yeah, you can get those old games. You can get some of those games. I think there's a Pong game on the iPhone. I don't know about Droid. I'm sure there is. The game I'm kind of stuck on right now is Clash of Clans. I can't get off of it. They just did clan against clan wars tonight, and the server has been up and down. But it's just really fun. I play with my little cousins and a couple nephews, and it's just a riot.
So. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool that you can involve families. I think that's what the beauty of that kind of stuff is. All right, Polyglot Scientist, very enlightening. We'll have you back on again soon. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, there you go, Joe Savard. So your first computer, do you remember? Isn't that funny, the Radio Shack? Boy, we used to go to Radio Shack, as Jack is saying, all the time. I remember, that was the store. We went there to get everything. I mean, anything. If my mother would send us to Radio Shack just to get batteries, we're like, but Mom, we can get them at the grocery store. You know, they sell them at the grocery store. You can get them at the Acme. No, no, no. They have better batteries at the Radio Shack. Meet you on the flip side.
If you own a business, you need customers, right? Well, your potential customers are listening to this radio program right now, and I can help you reach them. Hi, I'm Matt Brower, a national marketing executive at the radio network responsible for this program. I can help you customize a national radio campaign that fits your budget, large or small, while targeting your specific audience. Contact me to learn how radio advertising can make your business more profitable. mbrower@gcnlive.com. That's mbrower@gcnlive.com.
How can you save a ton of money and prepare for emergencies? By having your own in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. Now you can cut down on wasted food by freeze drying your leftovers. That's right. Create your own long-term food storage by freeze drying your own fruits, meats, vegetables, even complete meals with the Harvest Right in-home freeze dryer. Imagine the savings and the peace of mind. See how the amazing Harvest Right freeze dryer works at harvestright.com.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
Spring time is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Sense World Wide Web. Remember your first computer? Do you even remember back then? How many of you have a clue as to what your first computer was? It's kind of an interesting, I think, thing to think about, because you think of how far in 25 years, you know, the early computers, how far we have come since then from the early home computers. In fact, I got this note from Todd. See, all of you are into this. And Todd says, Kate, I laughed out loud when I heard you say something about the Radio Shack TRS-80 pocket computer. Man, I totally remember that. I can remember just begging for better things to come out. And every time something came out home computer-wise, I'd be really hassling my parents for it. The Commodore 64. Remember the Commodore 64? Remember the MSX2? Remember that system? And, of course, Atari ST system. Atari was ours. I just remember Atari more than probably anything else. But, yeah, there's a ton of early home computers, I think, classics, right, that would be on Lost. Remember on Lost when they went to the computer and they'd have to type in the thing every hour? So, and the desktop computers, what, was 1977? And it was really, I think, the 80s when the computer became much more common. You know, then you had the IBM PCs that came out and the whole range of that kind of stuff, and it is interesting to see. Even if you think of hardware, think of what the hardware was like, and you know how far we've come in that time period. The language, which Joe was talking about, and it is pretty interesting stuff, I have to say. So I think we tripped a nerve there. Do you want to tell us what your home computer was? Boy, we want to hear it. AmericaTonight.net, click on Contact, and bada bing, you are in. Whatever home computer she had, it doesn't matter. Kathleen Sebelius is out as the Health and Human Services Secretary. And I am not surprised that she resigned. I figured, based on some of the things that happened before, just the mountain of pressure and criticism, that she wasn't going to be hanging around all the way through this second term. So she's done. She's gone. I mean, this has got to be one of the rockiest cabinet positions for Obama, period. I mean, what a tumultuous launch in October, last October, of the Affordable Care Act, the exchanges. And so many people were saying, "What? This is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah." Everybody was calling for her head. And she stayed all the way through to the end of March, which is what I figured would happen. You know, dig the heels in, stay in, and then resign. And that's what happened. So the president is going to make the announcement formally on Friday, nominate the White House Budget Office Director Sylvia Matthews-Burwell to replace Kathleen Sebelius. The Senate has to confirm Burwell, of course, to have that position. And since they've been touting the whole enrollment thing in the last few weeks, Sebelius said Thursday that 7.5 million Americans have signed up for the coverage under the new law. But, of course, we know the technical difficulties, the implementation of the law has been ridiculous. I mean, nothing but questions hang over this thing. So it has been rough. It has been heavy heading into the midterm election cycle. I think the Democrats were saying, yeah, we got it. We need a lamb. We need somebody to slaughter. Who is it going to be? I mean, what a mess. And whoever, and if in fact it is Burwell, what a mess she, I think, inherits, because you're going to have rising costs, families really seriously losing doctors. No joke, not political rhetoric, just the truth. And then all of these regulations. Now, I've talked to so many people that jumped on affordable health care, and I've said how it's worked for some and how it's been an abomination for so many people. And what's really happened is a lot of people show up at doctor's offices, and then they can't, when they get on the phone and they're trying to find out about the coverage, they can't even verify the coverage. So, in other words, is it accepted? Is it not accepted at certain places? No. It's not accepted at a lot of places, and people don't understand that. They assume that it is. So the Senate Finance Committee ranking member, good old Orrin Hatch, said Sebelius had one of the toughest jobs in D.C. because she had to implement that law. And he said it's flawed and it continues to fall short. And he says, you know, I don't always agree with Sebelius. I didn't at all, but she did the best she could do. It was terrible, the whole rollout. I mean, good for him as a Republican, actually kind of giving her kudos. Because in a way, she is the sacrificial lamb. However, it was an abomination. And if the buck stops with you, that's it. If I'm the cabinet person, I accept the position. I serve at the pleasure of the president, in a sense, once I'm confirmed. Then that's it. It's my gig. So I can, you know, I can't turn around and blame everybody else. It's on my head. So I think her legacy is going to be the whole sign-up thing in the marketplaces, and then down the road, the next person is really, I mean, I don't know, do you really want this job, Burwell? Do you really want that? I think it's going to be rough, because then this is when the next couple of years are going to be the choppier years, really. And there she's going to have to send out rescue boats. You're going to see more cancellations, more confusion, all of that. And, of course, the exchanges, you've got to have the injection of youth. If you don't have that, they don't work anyway. I mean, but you get that. How many times have we talked about the problems with Obamacare? In theory, great. Why shouldn't we all have affordable health care, of course? There, I think, are some other things that could happen that could make it work better. It's not, it would never be a perfect thing to implement from the beginning anyway. But this was, the fact that the way it was rolled out was just so incredibly flawed, And for all the money that was spent on those sites and all the years in pulling this together, there just is not a great excuse for that part of it. Not at all. And that's why she should have gone probably a lot sooner. But I guess the whole idea was, let's just let it ride itself out. Let it ride itself out, and then we'll try to land on softer territory. How's that? Yeah. All right, coming up on America Tonight, Hillary Clinton. Somebody in Las Vegas throws a shoe at Hillary Clinton. Somebody said to me, thank goodness that wasn't in Texas, because that would be all over the news for at least 3 days. But no, that's not what happened. I'll explain when we get into that and when we mix up some of the other odds and ends on the day. And also in our last segment, which is coming up, we'll also mix in why Disney is being sued over waiting in line. I've done the Disney thing because of my nephew. And, you know, now it is just such a money grab to me. The whole thing of the fast pass. So now it's not good enough. You can't just get the uber expensive passes to go to Disney. If you really want to be able to get in line and see anything, especially if it happens to be crowded, you better have a fast pass, which is more money on top of that. But what's really, really crazy is children with disabilities. So last week at Disney, 16 families with autistic kids filed a lawsuit against Disney Parks and Resorts. They said the new policy they have is too narrow for the people that have autism, and it violates the Americans with Disabilities Act. The lawsuit was filed in Los Angeles, and it includes Anaheim's Disneyland and Disney California Adventure, and it's, of course, the unspecified money, whatever. Because here's the deal. Because of that whole line thing that I just said, the fast pass deal, what some people were doing is they were cutting in line. So some families with autistic children taking them to the park, there were people that were faking it. They were trying to say they had a child with disabilities in order to beat the lines. And, you know, because they would say they have a hard time waiting in line. And it's true, but people were making it up, and then the whole ADA thing. So now you have some kid running a ride who's, what, has to determine whether the child has ADA, whether the child has some kind of a disability that just doesn't allow them to wait in line too long. And they've got this disability access service card. It has a photo ID, and it's just like the fast pass system. And it allows somebody who's disabled to return at a specific time where they can access the ride without waiting online. And that's where the argument came in, because people were paying, is this just brutal? Supposedly people were paying to rent kids. I mean, are you kidding me? Anything to just get on. I got to get on the Jungle Boat ride faster. So I'll pay for it. But I just want to be able to make sure my kids can get in that line just a little bit faster. We have no patience whatsoever. So, you know, when we're talking about the home computers and the first ones you had, now that would be like, are you kidding? People wouldn't even get on a computer that was dial-up. I mean, just to laugh at it, or just as it's an antique, just to store it somewhere. But it's got to be fast. We're all about fast. For goodness sake, Amazon is going to capitalize on that Amazon Fire with their TV, where you can just yell out, Gilligan's Island! Super Bowl! And just scream out an actor's name, and all of a sudden, boom, all the potential shows pop up. Because we don't want to have to search. We don't want a keyboard anymore. Roku's not good enough. Come on now. O&E on the flip side.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call? And how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595. That's 1-888-912-1595. 1-888-912-1595.
Many parts of rural Australia are still on dial-up. I didn't think about it that way. Maybe some people in the United States in some of the rural areas find themselves in the same situation. Our man Nathan Reeder probably remembers his first computer. Nathan, do you remember how exciting it was the first time you touched a computer?
Oh, yeah, it was so fun. We were at my dad's laboratory, and I got to play some video games. I think it was an Apple IIe. That was
an Apple IIe.
Yes, Apple IIe.
Bit
ago.
Yeah, it's funny to think of it. Now we walk around with computers in our hands.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And yeah, think of the. Yeah, I wish they could beam us up though. Wouldn't that be perfect?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I would go for that. I would risk it. I would love to be beamed up to whatever, the place I desire. Beam me up.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Wow. Not the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory version?
I think the Star Trek version is better for me.
Yeah. That's a little you know? More real.
Exactly. I want to be beamed up that way. So, cut out the whole, I have to fly on a plane, boom, I'm there in a second, it works. As long as all of me comes intact, I guess. You know, that whole time travel thing has always been fascinating to me. I love anything science fiction that deals with that. time travel or traveling back, you know, backwards or forwards in time, I think is just the coolest. So, I said this was O&E time, and I wanted to mention a couple of things that are related to what we talked about earlier in the week and here on this weekend. Flight 370, they're saying now there's a fifth signal, but it's not related most likely. That's what they're saying. The most recent signal, this is off of the coast of Perth in Australia, detected by a search plane, is unlikely to be related to the black box. So why no debris? The search area is much closer. It's, you know, 17 miles and even shrinking smaller than that. So they're analyzing. And we still come back to the same thing. Are we ever going to see any pieces of this plane or have any real idea? The Australian Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, told reporters in China on Friday that they are very confident the signals picked up by the acoustic detectors are coming from the black boxes of the missing flight. But then it gets a little murky. Is he referring to the four signals detected earlier in the week, or what is he referring to? So you have planes and boats, they're scouring the Indian Ocean for more signals and signs of the wreckage. And Flight 370 disappeared from military radar. As you all know the story, it's been over a month for 120 nautical miles after it crossed back over the Malay Peninsula, supposedly, right? That's the data they have. It means the plane had to have dipped in altitude between 4,000 to maybe 5,000 feet. And was the dip programmed into the computers controlling the plane as an emergency maneuver or what? What was that all about? Nothing but questions, my friends. Nothing but questions. But at least the search area has shrunk. Right? And so that's the good thing. So Hillary Clinton had to duck a bit as a shoe was thrown at her at a recycling conference in Las Vegas. And she said, thank goodness she didn't play softball like I did. She would have just been nailed with the shoe. And the nut that threw the shoe just put her hands up and the Secret Service marched her out of the room. She has no idea that she's going to go to jail for throwing a shoe at Hillary Clinton. I mean, what a dummy. It was very strange, though, to see the video. She just kind of, it's like she was playing mixed doubles and she was avoiding the net for a second. I kind of give her credit for the way she was able to dodge the flying shoe. Remember when George Bush had the shoe thrown at him? I mean, maybe that's a new thing in politics. Let them try to dodge our shoes. But in all seriousness, like I said, would you want to do any kind of prison time for something as stupid as that? Yeah, I don't think so. On a sad note, in odds and ends, one of the worst stories, besides of course the stabbing in Pennsylvania, is what happened in Florida at the KinderCare. So this is Winter Park, Florida. I have relatives that live in this area. There was a guy who rented an SUV, and his SUV hit a car. The car went flying into that KinderCare daycare center in Winter Park. It killed immediately a 4-year-old girl. So they were looking all over the place for Robert Alex Caracho. And they were worried because they looked into his background. You know, he had rented this car, this SUV, and they looked into his background. And, of course, he was arrested on all kinds of drug charges. And he had, I guess, gang ties. So they issued a warrant for his arrest on Thursday. And then he turned himself in. He drove his rented Dodge Durango into a car that pushed it into the KinderCare. Now, not only did the one girl die from being hit in the accident, 13 other kids were injured and one adult. And then this creep flees the scene. And of course he did, because what was going on there? He ditches the Durango before renting another SUV. So he left the scene of an accident with a death. So imagine what this is going to be. Bond was set at $100,000 at this point, right? And he rented a black Mazda CX-5 on Wednesday afternoon after he left that accident scene and just left the Durango, abandoned it a few hours after the crash. I mean, geez, how sad is that? I guess the mother is, of course, the mother is devastated. How many times have I said on this show in the last 2 weeks, oh, the victims, the mothers, the father. I mean, this is personal. This woman's name is Nicole Quintus. Her little girl's name was Lily. There was 50 kids at the kinder care. What was the chance that the car would slam through the wall and that would happen? Not great. That's not what you're thinking about when your kid's at daycare. And the mother, of course, was so distraught, and everybody wanted to talk to her, so she decided she was going to make a statement, and she said, I have no idea how I'm supposed to survive this. I don't know how I'm supposed to go back to a daily routine. I'm wondering about. I'm lost. She said the daughter was painfully beautiful, incredible, and deserves so much more. And even a little boy, she's got a little boy that's 7 who was off in school, and he doesn't understand how his sister was killed and is building. And this show, this is a personalization. He's building a time machine out of his Erector set. Remember, we're talking about time machines. So that he can bring his sister back. I mean, that is just awful. An insult to injury. Lily's father is a paramedic. So, of course, you know, people are just pouring in food, bringing in food and donating money for medical and funeral expenses and all of that. But it's just heartbreaking. So this guy's not paying attention. He slams into a car and then he takes off. Oh, my, oh, my. And it happened, you know, later in the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday. And it's, I mean, this is life. This is life. And just in an instant, life changes where it seems that you would be untouchable in a sense, that you would be able to survive the daycare day. And as a parent, you're not worried about that kind of a thing, a car flying through a brick wall. You're just not thinking that's what's going to happen here. Of all the possibilities, that's not the thing that's going to kill my kid, that's going to harm my kid. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. So we end with what we sort of began with. The Congress has taken off for a couple of weeks because of Easter. Getting a little bit of work done. One of the things you're going to have to add to the list is whether or not to confirm the president's nominee to replace Kathleen Sebelius as Health and Human Services Secretary. Officially, he'll announce that he accepted her resignation and move forward on Friday from the White House, probably the Rose Garden. Thanks for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.